Lord, we just come to you this morning and we thank you so much for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for this group. It may be small, but we want to know you more, Lord. And we want to hear your voice and we want to learn more about you. And we just want to be in your word and in your will and in your spirit, Lord. And so we just offer this time up to you. And we just pray that your presence would be here, strong and powerful and wonderful. We lift a service up to you today, and we just pray, Lord, that you will fill this place with your Holy Spirit, that you will just light us up, Lord, and you will help us to know that you are who you say you are, and you are the King of Kings, Lord. We just thank you so much, and we're so grateful that you would even pay attention to us, and you not only pay attention, but you love us, and we don't deserve it, but you still do. So thank you. Thank you so much, Lord. We just lift all of this up to you, and we lift this time up to you, and we just pray that you'll guide us and teach us and help us to learn something or to see something from a different perspective. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I have a question.
Yeah.
Stop and think about how many churches today are being touched by the Holy Spirit all at the same time.
A bunch.
Isn't that amazing how that happens? The thought just popped into my mind. How does that even happen? Man, it's amazing, I think.
Because he's moving.
Man.
I think it's because we're getting towards the end and he's moving. Moving and stirring. Moving and stirring.
I'm ready. You just put the Holy Spirit on me right there.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about right here.
Let's do it. I'm all about it.
We started last week and we were on 24 and it talks about how the Spirit speaks to us, in us, and through us. And there's a whole bunch of scripture listed there. We looked at 1 Corinthians 12, and where it told us that it's the Holy Spirit that even allows us to say Jesus is Lord. And we looked at 1 Timothy, where Paul says the Holy Spirit says, and he talked about the people abandoning their faith and being led astray. And it was kind of the Holy Spirit speaking to Paul and giving him a revelation or something to share. We looked at Revelation and where it talked about the messages to the churches, where it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The Holy Spirit definitely speaks to the churches. And we looked at Hebrews, and we were talking about the part where Paul quoted Psalm, where it says, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, like they did in the desert. And he was speaking to the Israelites after the Exodus. Paul's also was using that because it applies to people today, right? But we hear his voice sometimes. You ever heard God's voice?
Yes, sir. Yes.
I mean, sometimes we hear his voice in our head. Sometimes we hear his voice in our hearts. Sometimes we hear his voice in all kinds of ways. And sometimes we hear his audible voice. I mean, it's just a... But we're picking up. That's kind of where we stop. We're going to pick up at Matthew 10. The verse says 10:20, but bless you. It says 10:20, but I want to read 1-20.
Okay.
Matthew 10:1-20.
Let me get an amen when you're there.
Amen, brother. No, you're faster with your computer than why I got my pages, aren't you?
And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits.
Yeah.
To cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanian, and Judas Iscariot.
Mine doesn't either.
No, you don't have it?
Oh. Mine says Simon the Zealot.
Okay, Simon the Zealot. And Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These twelve Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, I will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you."
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Okay, so understand, right, that this is not to us. This is to the disciples that he sent out, and he sent them to the Israelites. He sent them, he said, "Do not go among the Gentiles or the Samaritans or anything." He said, "Go to the Israelites."
To the Israelites.
And he gave them that authority. Now, he gives authority. This is specific authority given to the disciples. But that authority is extended to us. There's scripture that extends to us in other places, just not right here.
Right
here, this is talking about the authority he gave the disciples to go out among the people of Israel.
But it applies to us because we have the same authority that he does, right?
Yes. This particular verse doesn't give us that
right.
But it does later on. I mean, it talks about it in Mark 16, John 14, Matthew 28, but, you know, here he's talking about that. But it doesn't mean we can't learn something from this still, right? I mean, we can see God's character here. We can see that Jesus has that authority. And not only does he have that authority, but he can pass that authority. He can give it. He can give us that authority, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's telling these guys they're going to go out and they're going to cast out demons and they're going to heal lepers and they're going to, you know, heal leprosy. And, you know, and you talk about leprosy. I mean, leprosy was a huge, huge deal, right? People were basically dying, rotting away, and they were outcasts. They weren't allowed to live around the other people. They had to be, you know, they had to be covered all the time. They had to be away. And, you know, it makes me think of, like, the flesh-eating diseases and stuff that we have nowadays. It's like, it's crazy. But, you know, he's telling. He says, go out, and he's sending them out like sheep among the wolves. And when it talks about how the Holy Spirit speaks to us and through us and that kind of stuff here, I love the part where he says, he doesn't say, if you are arrested and go before the counselors and the courts. He says, when you are arrested and go before the courts.
Right.
Don't worry about what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be speaking. He didn't even say, I'll tell you what to say. He says, it is not you that will be speaking, but the Spirit of the Father will speak through you. So the Holy Spirit, when they get out there and get arrested because they're preaching the gospel, is going to speak directly through them. And that's, I don't know, that's exciting. That's exciting to me.
That happened to me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and the other thing is that I love about this is, you know, God gives us what we need when we're out there doing his will. He supplies what we need. He says, don't take any gold, don't take any silver, don't take an extra tunic. You know, I only have one tunic, but no,
I don't have a tunic. I got the other one right here.
He says, don't take an extra tunic. Don't even take sandals, a staff. Don't even take extra food or anything. He's like, the worker is worth his keep, right? The worker is worth being fed.
Yeah.
So when they go out there and they're going out in these places, he's going to supply that. He's going to make sure that he opens up those doors for them. And, you know, he's going to stay in people's homes. I mean, that would be an awesome life, I think.
Yeah.
I think that would be an awesome life to honestly just spend your life traveling around, sharing with people, talking about Jesus, staying with people, you know, and sharing with them and bringing whole households and moving on and going somewhere else. But
yeah.
That's me, though. A lot of people's like, you're crazy. I don't think I could go out and be out there without some stability. I'll let you know.
Yeah, because I'm not married. I have no ties. I'm ready.
I'm married. We're going for 148, so I can't leave yet.
43.
All right. So, yeah, that's pretty much that there. There's... Yeah.
If anyone will not welcome you,
mm-hmm.
I tell you it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the Day of Judgment than for that town.
Right.
I wonder why that is.
I think, for me, that they are in denial and they have a cold, hardened heart or something.
And the people of Sodom and Gomorrah at least knew.
And they knew. But these people don't know, but yet they're rejecting.
Okay.
I think that he's sending them out there with this tremendous power. They're not just going out and saying Jesus is Lord.
Mm-mm.
They're going out there and they're healing leprosy. They're healing the sick. They're casting out demons. They're doing all this stuff that Jesus did.
Yeah.
And he's sending them out there on this mission. And I just think it's like, look, if they see and hear and experience all of this through you and they still don't believe you,
then
you're in trouble. When you think about Sodom and Gomorrah, you usually think about, like, you know, how disobedient and the perverted and all that stuff that they were. I don't know that it really applies for that, or if he's just saying, using that as an example, like, okay, Sodom and Gomorrah I destroyed because they were so bad, it'll be worse than that for them.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, kind of like it was an extreme of judgment.
Okay. All right.
Let's go to Acts 2.
Oh, okay.
Acts 2.
Already? I was going to ask you something.
Well, you can ask me something.
Well, this part here says, is verse 14, and if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town.
Yeah. So,
go ahead.
That's kind of a symbolic thing. The Pharisees, that was like a Jewish thing. The Pharisees, when someone or something was unclean, they shook the dust off, kind of like, I'm shaking the dust off my feet and I'm moving on. I'm leaving everything. This is all you, and I don't want to be a part of you now because you're unclean, you're not accepting, you're not willing. I'm shaking the dust off and I'm moving on. It's kind of like I'm washing my hands of the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? Like they're saying, no, I'm sorry, I've tried. You're not listening. You don't care. You don't want this. I'm just going to move on to.
But as long as you've done your job and you let them know, like they do, like it is here. And if they don't listen to your words, you shake them off. Just keep moving. You've already done your job.
I mean, we have people in our lives where we don't want to give up.
Right.
And we just want to keep going and hitting it and hitting it and hitting it. We just want to keep doing it and doing it. And
hopefully
that's fine. And that's fine. You know, those are people that we really love and care about. But if you're out there on the street, you know, if you're out there and you just meet somebody that you're probably, you know, chances are you're not going to meet that person again. It's just somebody you're out on the street and they're not willing to listen. He's just saying, you know what, they're not willing. Shake the dust off, wash your hands, move on to somebody else.
Right.
All right, now let's go to Acts.
Okay, sorry.
Acts 2.
Yep.
2:4, but we'll start at 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, suddenly a sound like the blowing wind. You know the story, right?
When the day they were all together.
What? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. When they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So they gave this scripture because the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak in other tongues, and that's an example of how the Holy Spirit speaks through us. I mean, we know this story, but I love to visualize, and when I read that story, and I try to visualize that, I mean, I don't know if you guys visualize when you read or study or anything, but I do. I try to, like, put myself in that situation. Yeah. I try to visualize it. It had been like 10 days. They'd been hanging out in Jerusalem for like 10 days since the ascension of Christ, right? Because from the one feast to the other is 50 days. Pentecost is 50 days, and from the Feast of Weeks or Feast of Tabernacles or whichever you want to call it. But it says earlier that Jesus had shown himself to people after he rose from the dead and had shown himself to several different people for a period of 40 days. Right? And then he told them that he's leaving. And to go to stay in Jerusalem, they were already in Jerusalem, to stay in Jerusalem and not to leave until the Father gives them the gift that he's talking about, the Holy Spirit. And then he ascends to heaven before them. So they've been hanging out there in Jerusalem for like 10 days. And it doesn't say where they were. It just says the house that they were in. But, you know, 10 days had gone by.
They're waiting.
10 days has gone by. I'm sitting there with all my group of friends, and it wasn't just the disciples. It was the disciples, and there was like, I think it said there was like 120 other, you know, folks, the believers or whatever that were around, and they're just waiting, like, you know, could you imagine waiting for something like that?
I can't imagine, especially in this day and age, with the lack of patience that people have when they want immediate gratification.
Yeah.
After like an hour and a half, I'm out of here.
Because they didn't know what exactly they were waiting for.
Right.
I mean, they had an idea what they were waiting for, but they didn't know what it was going to look like, how it was going to be. You know, I could just see us all sitting around going, is that it? No, that's not it.
Yeah.
Wait, is that? No, that's not
no.
it. You know, and, yeah. and 10 days, I'd be going nuts. I can't sit and watch a 2-hour movie waiting
yeah.
for something like that for 10 days. I'd be going
yeah.
crazy. But they're sitting there doing what they're doing. And all of a sudden, the sound of a violent wind, it says, filled the whole house.
And they would say, this is it. This is what we were waiting for.
This is it, right?
And be scared. And you'd be kind of scared.
Yeah, it doesn't say it was wind.
No, it just says like a violent wind.
Because I looked at several different versions of Scripture to see if it changed. And every single one of them says it was a sound. Like a violent wind.
Oh,
like
mine
a,
says.
Or
mine
like
says,
a torrent wind. Or
mine's different. It says a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting.
But it says the sound of a mighty rushing wind, or it says a mighty rushing wind.
And the day of Pentecost rather than again, and suddenly there came from heaven. Okay, sound like
a sound like a
sound
mighty
like a mighty rushing
yeah.
wind, and it filled the entire house. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I've not been in the middle of like a hurricane or a tornado or anything, but I've seen videos and stuff out of them, and they sound like a train or something coming.
Mm-hmm. Tornadoes
I mean,
sound like
a
train.
You know, they're
yeah.
really, really loud. And I'm thinking to myself, that's probably what it's similar to what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sound of a violent wind that filled the whole house. And like you said, they would be like, oh, okay, this is it.
This is it.
This has got to be it. Now what? So, I don't know. I just love that visualization. So, no doubt that it was the Holy Spirit. I mean, we know from studying Scripture that wind and fire, you know, represents the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so you had the sound of the rushing wind and the tongues of fire. That.
Brian, can you imagine living then when God was so physically visible in so many ways, like the manna from heaven and stuff like that. Can you even begin to imagine what that must have been like at that time? What would you think if all of a sudden, if you were hungry and all of a sudden stuff started coming down from heaven?
Yeah, you know what I can't imagine?
What?
I can't imagine how people experienced this
and still whined and complained.
And
that's what I don't imagine.
Or went back to their sinful ways. Yeah, I can't imagine that either.
Why was it different then than the way it is now? Why did this change so much from then to the way things are? I mean, I know, you know, time goes on or whatever, but I mean, even, here's to give you an example. I heard like in the 80s, in the mid to late 80s, there was a huge presence of the Holy Spirit across many nations in our world, and it kind of comes and goes in spurts.
We've had big revivals.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it on, I'm just saying.
But we've had big revivals in where people have flocked to particular places because something's going on.
Billy Graham.
But it started with people, groups of people desperately desiring this.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that focus, obedience, and that desire is all necessary. And, you know, God's not just going to throw down all this power and all this stuff that people would explain away and miss and, you know, try to create some kind of an explanation or something, some scientific explanation or who knows what. I think that He responds to people that really, really are seeking. And I think we're so distracted. We as a whole, you know, as a whole people today are so distracted, we're not looking for it.
Mm-mm.
We're not wanting it. We're not looking for it.
It had to happen back in the Old Testament because that's how God established and gave everybody that came after.
Yeah, they didn't have the word.
Right.
They didn't have what scripture that they had was the Old Testament scripture. They didn't have any of the scripture about Jesus and who Jesus is. They were waiting for a Messiah that was their idea. The Israelites' idea of a Messiah was nothing like Jesus.
No.
The Israelites' idea of a Messiah was a powerful king that was going
to
come in and kick all of their enemies' butts and dominate them and set up a kingdom that could not be conquered. And that they would be part of that powerful kingdom that could not be conquered. They didn't understand that He was coming to conquer sin, that He was coming to conquer that battle. They didn't get that. They didn't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's... I don't know if that answers any of your question, but I think that there's pockets of extremely influence and power and Holy Spirit and all of that, and I think that those pockets are people that are truly, truly focused and wanting. You know,
thirsty for the Lord.
Thirsty and hungry and thirsty for the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think it says if you're, you know, those who are thirst will be, you know, if you're hungry and thirsty for the Lord, you're going to be satisfied.
Right. Oh, yeah,
and I think that if we want it... If we want it, I think we'll get it.
You will.
Let's look at Acts 20, Acts 8.
Acts 8?
Acts 8.
Okay.
Guess what? Amen. I beat you.
Yes, you did.
Where are we at?
Acts 8. It says 8:29. We'll start at 1.
1 to what?
1 through 25 and then stop.
Is it okay if I read?
Sure.
Well, I hate to think that because I'm on the ESV version, and everybody's on, you three are on the same version, right?
I don't know.
I don't know.
No, I mean,
she's on King James, I'm on NIV, what are you on?
Are you on the
Yeah, I'm on NIV too.
I think it's an NIV.
Should I get like the NIV version, or do you mind?
Doesn't matter.
Assurance? Okay. I'll read till I feel like stopping.
If it's just different words, I mean, yeah. We're going to go to 25, but if you want
to... Oh, you're going to go to 25?
25 and then stop because there's something I want to talk about at 25. Okay.
And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem.
Okay. Sorry. I'm going to stop you real quick.
Okay, sure.
On the day that they're talking about, because it says on that day, and you're like, on what day?
Right.
Or at least my mind does that. The day that they're talking about is the day of the stoning of Stephen.
What is that?
The stoning of Stephen. If you back up just a little bit, it's talking about Stephen. Stephen went in, some people say Stephen. Stephen went in and basically verbally attacked the big shots of the church and of the Israel church, okay? And they didn't like it, and they dragged him out on the street and stoned him to death.
That brings up a good point. So see, how would I have known? I wouldn't have known that because...
If you back up. See,
So you're talking about going back towards the 7? Going into 7, you mean?
This is why... Phones are awesome when you're looking something up and quick and wonderful.
Yeah.
And I use mine a lot, but this is why the having you open is cool too. Because when it says on that day, and I'm like, wait, what day? And I back up to see what day, and then I go, oh, we're talking about where they stoned Stephen.
Saul was involved.
Oh, right, that's
who you're
saying.
Right, and Saul was not called yet. He had not been called by the Holy Spirit. He had not had his blinding light experience yet.
He was
right?
one of them that stoned Stephen.
And he was there approving the stoning of Stephen. And Stephen was preaching Christ, right?
Yeah.
And he was chewing out the Pharisees because they didn't understand and that they were, coming against Christ. And that... They were so furious because he called them stiff-necked, uncircumcised hearts and ears and jumped on their case. And so they dragged him out of the streets and stoned him. And while they were stoning him, Saul, who was Paul that wrote just about everything else back through, was there and was approving his death because he had not had his conversion yet.
Well,
so
I would be in this, but I haven't found them little tab things yet. And I get frustrated because I don't know where everything's at. I mean, I have a general idea, and I don't want to take up time like trying to get to a chapter.
That's cool.
And I'm flipping back and forth. I want to be able to have, like Tina has, those. Or you have. Oh, no, these. Yeah. Remember I asked you, where can you get them?
We got these at Blessings.
Office Depot or something?
I've never seen them in the store anymore. You probably have to get them at a Christian bookstore or something online.
We don't have one of them here, do we?
Is there still a Christian bookstore over on 256?
No, they closed down.
They closed too?
Yeah.
We don't have them in
our
bookstore, do we?
All their stuff online now.
I don't know.
I'll check it out.
Okay, so on that day, a great persecution broke out. So Stephen was stoned, and because of that stoning, they started turning to the other Christians, and a great persecution broke out, and the apostles, or it says all of them except the apostles, started to scatter. So, okay.
Scattered
so,
throughout,
on.
Okay. Persecution against the church. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now, those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed them to the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. But there was a man named Simon, who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, for the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of God that is called great. And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on the apostles' hands, he offered them money. Stop right there, 18?
25.
Oh, 25. Saying, give me this power also, so that no one on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. Excuse me. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord. If possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the blood of iniquity. And Simon answered, pray for me to the Lord, that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans.
Okay, so okay. Simon the sorcerer. I mean, that's a character to pay attention to, right?
Yeah.
He's this sorcerer going around showing magic of some kind. And you know, magic, when you talk about magic in the Bible, sometimes you got to dig really deep to see exactly what kind of magic they're talking about. I mean, it could be that he was setting up things and tricking people into believing it was something special, something that was a power from God.
They called it magic back then?
Yeah, it could have been, you know, when you talk about performing magic, there was like, you know, reading signs in the skies, like some of the people would do that and make predictions and things like that. I mean, it doesn't tell us what kind of magic, but sorcery of some kind. It could have been some kind of a demonic possession or something where the demons were doing something that was a sign or a wonder or something that was spectacular that got people's attention.
It wasn't the magic that we know now, because we know magic is magic. It's
magic is illusion.
Yes. Yeah, so that magic is the sin to God, though. We're not supposed to follow that kind of magic, right?
What magic?
The like, magic, like people that...
Like illusions and stuff like that?
People that believe in that false magic.
Oh, people that believe in
yeah,
this
that's, is that
kind
supposed
of stuff?
To be like a sin or something?
That's going to... You don't see that now.
No, I'm talking about, you know, magicians. You're not supposed to, like... You know how you're not supposed to be involved in witchcraft?
Any
of that kind
of
stuff, or voodoo, or but magic is in that category because I remember reading it. I'm talking about the false magic of people pretending or showing audiences that these things are really happening when in fact they're just made up. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't
that
know.
Type of,
you know, when
everybody everybody knows that that's false, because it's a trick.
Well, not everybody. Like children don't. They think it's real.
Yeah,
that's a setup for them.
But it's not done for the wrong reason. The Antichrist will come and do the kind of magic that Simon the Sorcerer was doing and claim himself better than the normal person, God. And that's what this guy
he was
not
what
to do.
Simon
yeah, but he was getting that, God was doing that work, not Simon. Right?
No.
No.
Simon
no.
was actually doing
not
that himself?
Simon.
No, Simon. No. Simon the Sorcerer was performing.
I'm confused now.
Okay, he was performing when he said. That's why I stopped at the word magic. You know, if I show you a card trick,
right,
God's not going to be like, that's wrong. You shouldn't show a card trick.
Right,
Or if you're doing like illusions on stage or something even, and, you know, that's what you do to make a living or something even. I don't, you know, people that do that, they're not trying to claim, well, they might, but most of them are doing it for entertainment value, just to, you know, impress, whatever. They're not doing it to try to get you to follow them or to put them on a pedestal or to give them power or to claim that they have divine power. Now, there are those who will do magic that claim that it's some kind of a power that they have. And that stuff I would put into that category.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, but the cute little, you know, magician at the kid show stuff, I don't think that's the same thing. I think it's what it is I think that if you're trying to set yourself up as someone that has this magical power and ability that makes you, you know, what am I trying to say? That makes you like, you know, someone that they need to look up to and worship or whatever. I mean, that kind of thing.
The only thing I was thinking is, you know, when you're a child and you see something or you're taught something, you usually carry that trait with you through your life. Or you believe that something is... As a child, you're innocent. You don't know any better. Let's just say, you know, that a bunch of kids saw a magic show and they really believed that really happened. And then those kids grow up believing in that. Yeah. It's just like anything else.
You know? I think they get over it.
I think after a while they learn it.
As a little kid.
Well, maybe, yeah.
As a little kid, I believed in magic. I believed that somebody could do that.
Yeah, sure, I did too.
And then
yeah.
As soon as
I think we all did.
Huh? Started really thinking, mm-hmm. I thought, no, he knows how to do a trick that I don't know how to do. And I wish I could figure that out. And I watch magicians and I try and catch what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I know that they're not real.
Right.
David Blaine.
I was just getting, I was, David the word was Blaine. Right on the end of my tongue. David Blaine.
He's amazing. But he has given himself an ability, but he doesn't claim to be.
Right.
Where do you think that power from David Blaine comes from?
He's learned to hold his breath for long periods of time.
But how about when he levitates?
He doesn't levitate.
He doesn't.
It's all the trick of the mind and the trick of the eye.
When he's out on the streets and he's doing that stuff and you see him levitate.
It's an illusion.
That's an illusion?
And
when you
see, I kind of almost believe that. I mean, I'm saying. Because
he only raises this far up off of the...
Well, no, I've seen him like this before. He's got his hands out like this and his whole body just lifts up off the ground and
there's
nothing.
Stuff going on,
there's like people all around
it.
Him. And
we don't see
okay.
It.
If... Yeah, there's...
There's stuff going on under.
There's a lot. Of,
yeah.
There's a lot of different things.
The only person that could do that is Christ.
Maybe he believes in. Maybe
okay.
He believes
if,
in God a bunch. Maybe right. He's a Christian.
Let me tell you this.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm not going. I'm not leaning in towards
he's
that.
Not
I'm just
saying, follow me because I can do it.
Right. I get what you're saying.
There are a lot of evil spirits in this world.
Yep.
And some have power that are supernatural. Beyond the power that we have.
Mm-hmm. Because Satan is...
And there are some things like that. And I will tell you this. I honestly believe that... I honestly believe that there are some people...
There are.
...that have given themselves over to that, that may be able to do supernatural things.
There is. I know it.
And they use it. And if they're the ones that's using that stuff to
impress
people for magic...
No,
people definitely put in that category.
No, I thought you were saying... No, there are people that... have certain special powers from God that have been...
From God?
Right, yes, from God. I thought that's what you were leaning towards. I'm sorry.
That's why we thank God for discernment.
Right, yeah, exactly. Right, yes. Because I watched too many Sid Roth Supernatural episodes, so I know there's all kinds of amazing, amazing things that people have been called and anointed to do, and that are just, that we don't even see here, that people just are
right.
Unfamiliar with, that there are people on this planet that God has specially called to do things.
And there are people that the adversary has given power and authority to that also do things.
Yeah.
And that's where discernment,
because
when you're searching and looking so much, and that's why I say, you can't be all spiritual.
No.
You have to be grounded in the Word too.
But the supernatural...
Because... But the supernatural things that happen, there are supernatural things that happen that are not from God. Okay? There are supernatural things that happen that are from God.
Example.
There are supernatural things that happen that's not. There's like such things that are real, that's demonic possession.
That I'm talking about. I know. I'm talking about like...
Okay, voodoo. That's an example.
Right. Well, I was trying to lean more towards the goodness of the supernatural and the spiritual world.
Yes, I'm saying there's both. Right. And the goodness of the supernatural, the spiritual, supernatural things that are of God are wonderful and fantastic.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They'll blow your mind away because they're beyond our comprehension, some of them, right? But you have to have that discernment because once you get that deep into the spiritual aspect of things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't think for a minute that the adversary isn't in there going to play around and throw some stuff in there on you too.
Right. I get that 100%.
That's where you got to, why I'm saying you got to be grounded in the Word too. Because nothing that God's going to do supernaturally is going to go against His Word.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's where I was.
So you need both.
Right. I wasn't leaning toward the negative aspect, but more the positive what I've...
But this guy, I don't know that this guy was doing the positive stuff. I don't know what he was doing.
Right.
I know that...
It doesn't elaborate.
Simon the sorcerer, I doubt that it was positive.
Sorcerer.
Well, when I heard the word sorcery...
The word is sorcerer.
Yes. Sorcery.
And it's a good example of what we're going to see
at
the end.
Almost 10 o'clock. That went by quick.
We didn't get very far.
We didn't do nothing. It seems like we need... Can't we all just come to your house for a few hours and sit around and talk? Can we just do that? Maybe
it would have to be awful late because
I don't care.
This
45 minutes is just not enough for me. I'm saddened right now because I want to learn more. Well, I'm a little saddened. Because
we'll finish up with.
It goes so quick, doesn't it? We just sat down. It seems like
we'll finish up with the things that I really wanted to point out here was that one. Peter looked at Simon immediately and said, no, your heart's not in the right place.
Right.
You're full of sin.
Yeah.
And you're trying to buy the power of God, and you cannot buy the power of God. And you don't want this because you want to help people and heal people and proclaim Christ and bring glory to God. You want this because you want more personal
power
for yourself to influence and
to make yourself
people.
Look good. Right.
And that's why. That was the point of him. We'll move on to Philip and the Ethiopian, but let's close. Lord, we just thank you for your word and thank you for, questions and discussions. That's how we learn. We learn by listening and we learn by discussing things and we have different perspectives and that opens up our minds and our hearts. And thank you so much for that, Lord. And help us to stay always grounded in your word. And if we have questions, to look back at your word for the answers. And I know there's some answers we're not going to find until you return. There's some things that when you open up our minds and hearts, we're just going to be awestruck.
Amen.
But we just thank you, Lord, for what we have now and what we can continue to learn. And we just thank you for this time that we come together, Lord. Thank you so much. And thank you for this group of friends, the people that just come and share. We lift this whole service up to you. And we pray for your presence to be strong and wonderful and powerful here in our church, Lord. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.